2 Corinthians chapter 4, down around verse 7. I enjoyed the day today. I just felt good having Victor Fleek here. All the sacrifices that he's made, all the sacrifices that that family has made for our country. Oh, I feel that we were blessed to have him here. Praise God for men like that, for families like that. I'm honored to have Sonny and Tracy with us tonight, and in our church. It's a blessing to have those folks who put it all on the line for their country. It's a good thing. Soldiers were always referred to in the context of good. Paul said, endure hardness, told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. Context was good. Mighty men of valor, valiant men. So I'm thankful for those men. Tonight in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace and your precious word, Father. You give us a guidebook for life, Lord, and you give us that precious Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we pray you teach us to be sensitive to that still small voice of the Spirit, Lord, and help us to know your mind, Father, not just to know it, but to live by it and practice what we preach and what you teach, Lord, and help us to have understanding of your word, open ears, Father, and open hearts. And teachable spirits, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost tonight, Father, and allow me to preach with power, Lord, and liberty. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I thought that Sunday school lesson by Brother Gabbard was very incredibly good today. It was good. It was made sense. It is important stuff. And a lot of folks are just never taught that. Most folks go through their entire Christian life without ever understanding that body, soul, and spirit makeup that we have. We've got a lot going for us as Christians, and we're going to get down, but God says we're down, but we're not out. We've got a bright future. We all have bright futures as children of the living God. The Apostle Paul tells us here that we have a treasure within us, and that the power is of God, and it's not of ourselves. The power is of God. When you try to walk a Christian walk, guess what? You're going to have opposition from the world. You're going to have opposition from your own fleshly lust. You're going to have opposition from the devil. Many times we'll get that confused. We'll think the devil's working on us when actually it's our own rotten flesh that's causing us the problem, not the devil at all. The devil may be 100 miles away, and yet we're trying to accuse him of being the problem for our lustful thoughts and so forth. No, it's the lust within you, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. That old nature is a bear, and that old nature you just gotta keep an eye on. You gotta be sober, be vigilant, the Bible says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out to get you. He's out to get you if you'll let him. That's why you have to be vigilant, watchful about that. Now, if we don't understand that, we'll never find the peace that God intends us to have. Paul says in our text that as Christians, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Why are we troubled? Because God told us in the last days that men would be lovers of their own selves. Heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the age we live in. It shouldn't take us by surprise. Yeah, God's not saying, oh, wow, where did that come from? God saw it coming all along. We should, too. We see, he said, we're to not to be ignorant of the season. Now, no man knoweth the day or the hour that the Lord returns, but he says, you see, the observe the sky. When the sky is red and lowering, you'll say, fair weather. He said, you discern the weather, but you can't discern the signs of the times. What was it you were talking about, Brother Steve, how crazy it's gotten? Hey, it's time for the Lord to come back. So even though we're persecuted, see, the devil's on his last leg. The devil's kicked it up a couple notches because he knows his time is short. And the Lord's coming back soon. We're going to have trouble around us because the things of God just don't mix with the things of the world. The things of God are in opposition to the things of the world. We're going to have trouble around us. While the disciples were assembling themselves in the first day of the week, there were many around them probably that could care less. They could care less about a group of folks following Jesus Christ, assembling together. A lot of those folks probably went fishing that Sunday morning. Now, when you got up this morning, you came to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Some of your neighbors, who knows what they were doing, because there's 150 different activities just locally that they could choose to go to. I'm sorry that it is that way. It didn't used to be that way. But you'll hear in the summertime, you'll hear lawnmowers running. You'll see all the ball fields filled up, all the tournaments going on Sunday morning. Said we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. I'm okay with it. You pray for those folks. You witness. You be a light to a dark world. I get kind of perplexed when I see folks living strictly for themselves. It's all about what feeds and satisfies the flesh. That's the nature of us. And I hate my own nature. I'll be glad to get a different body that I don't have so much trouble with, because this body over the years has been nothing but self-serving, self-indulgent, self-satisfying, self-gratifying. It's been all about me. But it isn't about me. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ scratching and clawing and do whatever we can to bring Him a little glory. Tell the world about the Savior. They need Jesus Christ. They need the hope, Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be distressed or despair over the sins of this world. See, God has already told us what to expect. He said, look at Lot. What Lot had to put up with, all the sin and the foolishness around Lot. You remember that? It grieved him and it vexed him. It says in 2 Peter 2:8, for that righteous man, talking about Lot, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Man, it should vex a Christian. Yeah. It should get you down seeing all the wickedness around us. You shouldn't feel good about that. It's normal to be vexed with those things because you have the indwelling Spirit of God. And all those things are oppressive. All those things of the devil are oppressive. All those unclean spirits are oppressive to a child of God. My, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. The world today is going to persecute the Christian. I mentioned a little earlier, they'll call us homophobic because we condemn sodomy. They call us intolerant because we pray in school. They call us child abusers because we discipline our children in a biblical scriptural manner. They call us outdated because we condemn fornication. They cry out in protest because we condemn the murder of unborn babies. That's the sin of this generation, that curse of the innocent blood crying out from the ground. You want to see a good environment? You want to see the weather go back to normal way it should be? Then quit murdering babies and you'll see how God blesses the weather. It's God who's in control of the weather. My, my, my. It calls bigoted because we preach that there's none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. They say, well, you're not inclusive. You're exclusive. No, God inclusive. The Lord said, whosoever will, let him come. The Lord said, I is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's inclusive. That's you too. Whosoever will. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. Whosoever will, let him come. Yes, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My, my, my. He said in John 16:33, these things that have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. My, my, my. Sure, we're persecuted. So what? We're not forsaken. The Lord says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My, my, my. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world hateth you. If you become comfortable with this world, you better check out your relationship with the Lord. Because they hated him. They didn't want anything to do with that lowly carpenter's son. What's the matter, son? You're born in a barn? They didn't want anything. He wasn't their hero. They were looking for a superhero to come and deliver them from the Roman bondage. And who showed up? Carpenter's son. Born in a manger. They didn't get it. They still don't. Too many Christians have become comfortable in this world. The world don't like Christians. It don't. The world is in opposition to God, just like a positive and negative poles on a battery. They're opposites. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh, but these and these are contrary the one to the other. You see it every day. The Spirit will encourage you and lead you to pray for somebody or to read your Bible or do something to bring spiritual life into your life. And the flesh wants to do something just the opposite. I don't know how many hours I've wasted in front of a television set. Got kind of quiet in here. The internet, social media, you can spend hours and hours and hours. When you decide to pray for 15 minutes, you say, well, I don't see how anybody can pray any longer than that. We're a mess. I'm a mess. Probably a lot of you are a mess. I won't try to put the rest of you in the company that I find myself in many times. Sometimes I get plumb ashamed of my prayer life and my Bible study. I pour my heart out to God. I thank God he's long-suffering. Get ashamed of myself after what he did for me. My, 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 my. After what he did for me. Spirit wants you to go to church. Oh, we find out and we find a lot of different things we need to do. Constantly persecuted by the flesh. Persecuted but not forsaken. Troubled on every side yet not distressed. We're perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Hey, that crowd that works over the church and works over Christians, and looks at Christians like we're the out of the dark ages. Hey, we're cast down, but we're not forsaken. God hadn't gone anywhere. God's still in charge. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. If you've been a Christian very long, you know what it means to be cast down. Be cast down. You can bring up something spiritual in a crowd, or maybe your old school buddies or something, right away they want to change the subject. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about some of the old days or the old stories or some of the things you used to do. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Little David, the child king, he went through great bouts of depression. Great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon went through great bouts of depression. Hey, it goes with the territory. Hey, I think God's calling me to preach. I think, oh boy, are you in for it? There's blessings in it, but be prepared. Brother Phil and I were going over a verse that caught me kind of funny the other day in Numbers chapter 18. Says, told the priest that ye shall bear the burden of your iniquity and of the people of their iniquity. So the pastor is going to be burdened down with the sins of the folks. But the context probably is where they had to do the sacrifices. They had to take care of it. They had to go in. I can't do that for you. Thank God I'm not responsible for anybody else, but I am responsible for preaching the word, preaching it straight, try to rightly divide it so you know the truth. Not somebody's brand of the truth or what we think it says or what a better rendering might be or what somebody told me that it was. But David, he is so beat down. He said in Psalms 94:14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Man, that's good to know. 2 Samuel 22:3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalms 144:2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower. My goodness is Jesus Christ. I talked about this morning. I'm not here to share my goodness with you. I don't have any. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'm here to share the goodness of God. God using me as a vessel to show forth his goodness and his love and his grace and his mercy and his long suffering. David said in 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is a kingdom, O God, and thou art exalted as head above all. Oh, we forget it. The world don't recognize it. They don't accept it. Don't change it. He's still God. He's still all-powerful, all-knowing. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forgotten. Cast down, but not destroyed. We may be down, folks, but we're not out. When Achan had sinned, the Lord allowed the armies of Joshua to suffer a great defeat. If you remember that story, and Joshua went into a great depression. It about killed Joshua. He was used to taking every city, boy, just city upon city. And then they go to that little town of Ai, and they got whooped up so bad, and they found that Achan had sinned. Joshua went into a great depression. He rent his clothes. He fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, and he put dust on his head. And then there in Joshua 7:10, and the Lord said to Joshua, the Lord said, get thee up. Yeah. But Lord, I'm pretty tough shape here, man. I'm depressed. The Lord said, get up. He said, get thee up. Get thee up off thy face. Why liest thou thus in the dust? Wow. God says that to me. I better be jumping up no matter how I feel. Get over it. When we discourage, when we get down in the mouth, when we get so burdened down with the affairs of this life and all the injustice around us, God says, get up and go on. Get up and go on. Jordan Green, if anybody had a reason to quit the ministry and to give up all his health problems, severe strokes when he was young, arm withered, his hand, he can have trouble speaking, he'll have to take time like this to get his thoughts together, and he goes on for God. He and Bethany, Brother Phil's daughter Bethany, doing a work in Mexico. Now Jordan's got some other problems going on, and he just keeps on going on. He's like the Energizer Bunny, except God is the one that energizes him. And he goes on and he goes on, he goes on scratching and clawing to bring God a little glory. He don't let his physical infirmity slow him down. He don't complain about him. He just goes on for God. Get thee up, why liest thou thus on thy face? When we get discouraged, when we get down in the mouth, God says, get up and go on. As a Christian, you may be down, but you're not out, folks. Here's that verse I recited earlier, Ecclesiastes 5:8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, that's how it goes, and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Go on for God. In the military, they had a term, and police academy, suck it up, son. You suck it up and you go on. Job 20 and verse 4, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Don't be discouraged by that wicked crowd around us. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My, what a verse. No matter what befalls us, no matter what comes our way, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I've been in place many times in my life I didn't see it that way. That's why God gave us the comfort of the Scriptures. What a verse, no matter what happens. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That song Born Again sings. Wind, don't you know that my Lord walks with me? I wrote that song on an airplane going to preach a funeral for my old buddy Mickey Robertson. I'd led him to the Lord about 3 weeks before he had a big heart attack and died. That plane ran into turbulence and started bouncing up and down. I said, when, don't you know, my Lord walks with me. Death, don't you know, my Lord holds the key. My. I said, I will not fear what man can do unto me. I left out part of that because I forgot it, even though I wrote it. Isn't it good that Christ, to know that Christ has overcome the world, and through him we triumph. Through him we have victory. Through him we know that everything's going to turn out okay. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Over 70 times that book tells you to believe in Jesus Christ. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're pilgrims, strangers, sojourners. We walk in the Spirit, not conforming to this world. Don't join them. Old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. No, not for the Christian. You pray for them. You lift them up in love. You got to love them. You got to love folks. No matter how different they are from you, no matter what their testimony is crazy as far as you're concerned, you got to love them. For God loved me. I wasn't any prize. I wasn't anyone that God should gravitate to, but he did. He allowed me to come to him. He saw me and my mess I was in, and he saved me. I'm thankful for that. How can I now look down my nose at any other human being? We walk in the Spirit, not conforming to this world, having no confidence in the flesh. We groan within us, knowing that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Romans 8:22, Paul said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Man, what a time that'll be. I really do look forward to the day when I don't have to battle all the things within this body of flesh that I battle every day. I'm a mess. I'll be a mess until the Lord comes back. Well, the only thing you can do is stay in that book, stay on your knees, and yield. Try to do your best to yield to God. Some men are much more yielded than I am. Thank God for those men. You read the works of some of those men. It's pretty incredible. Paul Brainerd? David Brainerd. They had a brother, David Brainerd, missionary to the Indians. What a story. Just so burdened down. He just saw himself in such a poor light. And yet he just gave his life to that ministry. Man, look at his rewards and glory. My. A hero should be any of our heroes. We groan within us. Also which have, and not only they, but also, we also, ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. A lot of folks don't understand that. They think, well, I got saved, I don't sin anymore. Hey, the body hadn't been redeemed. If the body had been redeemed, why would somebody be crying for the redemption of the body? Hadn't been redeemed, Paul said, for he shall change our vile body. It's a mess. You're a mess. I'm a mess. The Pope's a mess. Billy Graham was a mess. Waiting for the redemption of this body. Who knows what I might look like, that new body. I better move on here. We live in a world that is enmity with God. I trusted Christ for salvation. He reached out to me as I was reaching up to him. Don't know quite how that occurred. It occurred because my mama had sense enough to make sure I was under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God from a little boy. And she insisted on that. And one day the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I came to the realization that I was a mess, and without Jesus Christ, without a Savior, I would split hell wide open. As cute as I was, I knew I would split hell wide open. Wow. Things of the world weren't just nearly as fun. There came a day and things weren't as fun as they were before. I begin to see not only my own flesh as unclean, but also the world system around me. The whole thing, they had it, they were off on their philosophy, on their creed, on everything that they taught was becoming against God and against His Christ. I didn't want to go that route. Why? Because I believed God. I knew it had to be His way. But a world system, godless, self-serving, temporal, without hope. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:5, then said, woe, said I, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He saw it. Our Lord was called a man of sorrows. The Bible says He was acquainted with grief. Hey, He wasn't one of those big smiley TV preachers telling you to send in your checks. A man of sorrows. Do you think maybe that the world might feel the same way about those who belong to Christ? We're the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. If you're born again here today, the world's got some problems with you. It'll cause you trouble. It'll persecute you. It'll make fun and ridicule you and your lifestyle and the things that you profess to believe. The world will drag you down. It'll do its best to take away any joy that you might have. It'll try to sell you a false joy in the form of a pill or a bottle or a needle in the arm. Do anything to keep you from the peace that comes from God. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, for greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Don't let the world get you down. Don't let the politics get you down. Don't let that kind of stuff mess with you. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil steal your joy. Paul said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. And the peace that you have in Christ, let it fill your hearts and your minds. We may get down as Christians, but we're not out. The Lord's coming back, folks. He's coming back. He's going to right the wrongs. He's going to set up a new government on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, and He's going to rule the world in righteousness. Behold, a son is born, a child is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, upon the throne of David. Wow. Said He will establish His kingdom in justice and in judgment. Henceforth forever, it says. Said the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He's coming back. He's coming back for you, and He's coming back for me. If you're here and you're born again, He's coming back, and you're going to go with Him. Are you born again here tonight? Why would you miss out? Why would you miss out on so great salvation? I'm done. Someone come to the piano with Brother Jeff. God loves you. Not willing that any should perish. And I know with Sunday night crowd, probably most of you folks are saved. Maybe not everybody. I don't know. You know. Probably know. If that Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart and saying, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Why don't you come tonight? Let's take a few minutes. We'll take a Bible and show you the simplicity of Christ. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you go to hell, don't blame God. God made a way for you, just like He made a way for me. What page, Jeff?
308.
308. All to Jesus I surrender.